What a fantastic day. So much to be thankful for. And we don't want to rush past the blessing that we have. Just so precious to know that God is here. That God loves us. That God loves these families. We don't want to rush past that. We don't want to take it for granted. Equally, a happy moment to one person can be a difficult moment to someone else. So I came across an interesting, somewhat silly example of this on Radio 4 a couple of weeks ago as I was listening to Women's Hour. And just for the record, I don't make a habit of listening to Women's Hour. It just happened to be on in the car, and I stuck with it because they were speaking about traditional nativity plays. And they were speaking about the emotional politics involved in the casting of these plays. And how for some people, the role that they were given in their nativity kind of ended up staying with them to some extent through adulthood. Some people felt that actually the role they were given in nativity somewhat ended up defining who they were over the course of their life. So one woman spoke of playing Mary at age 3, and she said that it was her, quote, moment of feminist awakening, playing Mary at age 3. She recalled arguing with her teacher at the realization that she had nothing to do as she was playing that role. She'd been very excited about it, and then she felt bored playing Mary because Mary tends to not say a lot in the Nativity. Mary was supposedly one of the important characters, but she was voiceless and motionless in the school play. And another girl felt similarly, actually, had tweeted into the show saying how the one line that she had as Mary was, "I'm so tired." And you know, you think, oh dear me, well, that's not all the Bible has to say from Mary's lips, just so you know. But you know, here was me thinking that playing Mary would be a nice thing, but actually it had been causing all sorts of existential angst among the children and into their adult lives. Now, you might think that's a silly example, or you might not. Who knows, maybe some of you here were Mary and you've been struggling with it your whole lives, who knows? But the point is true. A happy moment to one person can be a difficult moment for someone else. This is life. This is Christmas, right? It's cake and constitution meetings. It's fame and feminism. It's leading roles and gender roles and the struggles there. And even today, as we think about dedication, moments of dedication to one person can be a moment of distress to someone else. We must celebrate these great moments. We never want to lose that aspect of rejoicing and celebrating with these wonderful dedications this morning. But it can also bring great distress to others for so many reasons. I actually know of one family who just was not able to come today. And I wholeheartedly supported them in that because they knew it was going to be too difficult for them. But this is a time of uncertainty for others, not those people, but others in our church family. There are those whose little ones are not doing so well just now. Either have just been born and are struggling, or are soon to be born and are struggling. And it's a time of great concern. It's a time of distress. The reality is as well that we also need to remember those who have lost children pre-birth. And among us, those who have lost children post-birth. We remember those this morning who are hurting deeply because they would love to be parents and they're not. That's real life. And that's all happening here today, this morning. Peace and pain, celebration and sadness, light and darkness. We need to take these both seriously. The Apostle Paul in the Bible in 2 Corinthians 6:10 spoke of himself and his fellow believers as being sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Do you feel that blend in your heart ever? The Bible is very honest about the sorrow that we face, about the darkness that is around us. In just verse 5 of John's Gospel, we read, "The light shines in the darkness. There is darkness in our world. Yes, there is. So on Friday night, I finally clicked play. I'd seen so many different people post videos of Aleppo and had missed all of them. Not always intentionally, but sometimes. But on Friday night, I saw this tweet a few times from Channel 4. A quote from the tweet from the report said this: Aleppo is a place where the children have stopped crying. And I clicked on this video to see a little baby or toddler at most, covered in dust and dirt and blood, looking confused on at his mother, who was wailing, overcome, having just witnessed the death of two of her other children. And if you've clicked on these videos, you don't move on to whatever's next. You know that. And as I sat there with tears streaming down my face, I had no other words apart from, "Oh my God." Not in vain. Oh my God. What do you do with videos like that? There is great darkness in the world, and we simply must acknowledge it. And as the Church of Jesus Christ, we simply must have something to speak into that darkness. Tim Keller, writer and pastor from New York City, has written in a recent book, he says this: Christmas is the most unsentimental, realistic way of looking at life. And in an interview with him, he was asked about that, and he responded like this: I say that about the theme of light in the darkness that's so prominent, not only in the biblical understanding of Christ's birth, but also in most contemporary celebrations of Christmas. The Bible doesn't say, from the world a light has dawned, but upon the world a light has dawned, Isaiah 9 and Matthew 4. The point, he goes on, is that the world is a dark place that needs salvation to come from outside of it. This means the end of cheesy statements like, if we all pull together, we can make this world a better place. No, we can't, says Tim Keller. We don't have what it takes. This is a clear-eyed, realistic approach to our problems. It's not rah-rah optimism. Yeah, it's not pessimistic either, because there is hope and a certainty that God will eventually destroy all evil. End quote. Yes, there is great darkness in our world, but we are not without hope. We are sorrowful. Yes, we must be sorrowful as we look on across Aleppo and Syria and Nigeria and Afghanistan and Iraq and around our world, as we look across there and as we look within to the few families in our church who are going through deep, difficult, dark times just now. Yes, we are sorrowful, but always rejoicing, because the message of 1 John 1 is that the darkness has not had the victory. I didn't read the whole verse, right? The light shines in the darkness, and what? The darkness has not overcome it. That is our message of hope. The darkness will not win. The darkness will not overcome the light of Jesus Christ. Can we watch a little video just now?
I know it's no one's fault. It's no one's fault that someone is born with a disability, but then you still feel like, but why did this happen to us?
Welcome to all of you. Please take a seat. We want to now share a nativity tweet. This story of Christmas, we tell it in rhyme. Some actors have lines, while some of us mime.
I was overwhelmed with grief at the loss. I thought a beautiful baby has got Down syndrome, and it's such a disaster.
Meanwhile, great Caesar Augustus in Rome made a decree, return to your home. For Joseph, this ruling meant Bethlehem town. So they rode on their donkey all the way down.
God didn't give me a straightforward answer of why this happened. It just took time for me to realize God's answer was it wasn't so much that it was wrong with Levi as much as there was something wrong with the way I was thinking.
Mary was speechless. She didn't know how these things could have happened, but still she bowed.
I think of Mary, of all she goes through. It's not her plan, it's God's plan. She just goes with it. She's humble, she's calm. She's reassured by the fact that everything's going to be okay.
For he has remembered me, his lowly servant. From now on, all the people will call me happy. He has brought down mighty kings from the throne and lift up the lowly.
What we learned was that God was with us. God suffered with us. And he gave us the most beautiful child, and there was no reason for me to grieve or compare her or, feel sorry for her. You know, in my old view, before she taught me, I thought she would lack. She's not lacking.
So gathered around that wee baby boy, all people are welcome to know heaven's joy. From angels to donkeys, from shepherds to king, the little Lord Jesus, God's welcome he brings. He came to our darkness from heaven above. He stooped to the crib and the cross out of love. He shared in our weakness and mess, and still he embraced us nevertheless. If you're feeling rejected, excluded, a stranger, remember the one who came down to the manger.
What this season is all about. John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And he shares in our gladness, and he feels with us, for us, in our sadness. That's what this morning is about. The joy of this moment is that Jesus is at the center of it. That's the heartbeat of the Pride family and the Macaulay family and the Ieni family, is that they know that Jesus shares in this beautiful gladness this morning. And the pain which we acknowledge in our world and in our lives and in our church does not have the last word. We're waiting on hope. That's what this year's little Advent series has been about. Hope that today is ours, can be ours, as we come to Jesus who meets us and feels for us in our sadness, who came to this world, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who took on flesh to know our pain and our sorrows. We wait on hope, and as he invites us, we come to him today. And as we wait on our ultimate hope, certain and sure that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it in the past. The darkness does not overcome it here this morning for any who will come to the light, and the darkness will never, ever overcome it. His light will shine in glorious radiance that you and I have only ever dreamed of and tasted of in part. One day we shall see him face to face, and we will see, and every tear will be wiped from every eye. Every disease will be healed. Every sin will be fully and finally away from our minds and memories, in recognition of the fact that every sin has been dealt with fully and finally on the cross of Jesus Christ once and for all. vindicated and seen in the resurrection and new life that is ours already in Christ, that we taste and one day will know in all its fullness. So we look at videos and we look at pain in our church and we say, come, Lord Jesus. Come and make certain and sure. Come and reveal it as being certain and sure, your perfect hope that we taste now in part and one day we'll see fully. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. So let's pray. So, Lord Jesus, would you shine your light here? Glories stream from heaven afar. We open our lives and our hearts to you just now. And in recognition of the darkness in our world and the darkness which is still a battle in our lives, we pray that we would open our hearts now and know the flooding, shining light of Jesus Christ now. We pray that we might know the comfort and peace of the Holy Spirit. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.